We really work hard to curate every single speaker, every single partner. We really love people and the energy and the positive vibe of having people around. So we really think how people will move, how they will flow in the venue. Is beer close enough? If not, let's put another beer stand there, you know? Prague sits in the middle of the Europe. It's like easy to access from anywhere. It's really wonderful. The beer is good. Summer is really nice. And that great Bitcoin history of Prague and our non-giving shit policy in Czech Republic is unprecedented. And it's hard to describe it, but people really need to live it, I would say. Yeah.
This is the Freedom Footprint Show, a Bitcoin philosophy show with Knut Svanholm and me, Luke DeWolf.
And we love to expand our freedom footprint. We hope you do too. The best way to do that is, of course, to emit as much freedom dioxide as possible. The best tool we have for doing that is, of course, Bitcoin.
Before we dive into today's show, we'd just like to tell you a little bit about how you can support us. First, to support us directly with Bitcoin, visit our Geyser page at geyser.fund/project/freedom. Or you can send us sats directly to freedom@geyser.fund. You can also support us as you listen by listening to the podcast on Fountain. The app is available on Apple and Android, and you can stream sats or send a boost. It's the easiest way to support the show just by listening normally.
And if you don't care too much about Luke, you can always visit knutsvanholm.com, where you can buy my fabulous wine, my books, and a t-shirt or two. And if you don't feel like supporting your fellow Bitcoiners at all, at least like, subscribe, and brush your teeth.
But seriously, that stuff actually helps. It would be great if you could subscribe to the YouTube channel, like the videos, send us a comment or leave us a review. All this stuff really helps the show, seriously.
Click the damn bell. So thanks for tuning into the show, and we hope you enjoyed today's episode. Here's an idea for you. Come and see me and Luke in Prague, my favorite European city.
With over 100 world-class speakers and the chance to meet more than 100 leading Bitcoin companies, this is where ideas flourish, connections are made, and Bitcoin's path forward is forged together with 10,000 enthusiasts and professionals.
In Prague, people have been fighting for freedom since forever. So it's only natural that Prague is the Bitcoin capital of Europe. You should be there.
With 3 days of keynotes, panels, and side events, BTC Prague is the place to be for pure Bitcoin-only signal.
And the beer is just fantastic.
Use discount code FREEDOM for 10% off your ticket and another 5% discount if you pay with Bitcoin.
So remember, use code FREEDOM and see you in Prague.
Martin, welcome to the Freedom Footprint Show. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show, guys. It's an honor.
It's an honor for us too, Martin. We last saw each other on Madeira, and you are one of two brothers that are sort of the kernel of the Bitcoin Prague, BTC Prague conference. So, but that's not the TLDR. That's the very short. What's that description called, Luke?
I don't know what you're getting at. Maybe get to the first question.
No. Okay. Yeah. Let's get to the first question. So, Martin, tell us a bit about yourself and your backstory.
Yeah. Okay. I would say that the story of me being a Bitcoiner is more like straightforward and quite obvious, and it doesn't like stand out from the majority and the crowds, but still, you know, I was introduced into Bitcoin from a few friends of mine, and it was just a coincidence that like for few random people, not like really random people, but randomly told me about something like Bitcoin in 1 week. And as I was always like IT guy, I was interested in hardware, you know, and I tested GPUs and CPUs and motherboards and stuff like this. So I got interested even from the technology perspective. So I said, okay, I shall maybe do some research. And after like a few days, my wife approached me in the evening with some Bitcoin too. So I said, okay, so both of us heard about something like Bitcoin. It's definitely something worth of exploring. So we said that, okay, let's buy some. That's the only way how to really get the skin in the game. So we bought like some small portion of it at the beginning of 2017, till before that crazy spike which we saw at the end of the year, and yeah, it got my attention like immediately. And of course, there were like that was the age of ICOs and a lot of shitcoins which we haven't heard since then anymore. But I thought that there's even something better than Bitcoin. So I did a lot of shitcoins. I've lost a lot of money. Then I mined a lot of shitcoins and I mined a Bitcoin too. It was actually great because I heated all my house from the waste heat. And I've learned so much. So it was actually great. And then I earned some money on shitcoining, but that was like nothing serious. I was basically just lucky one. And I thought for myself, hey, why the hell I'm risking so much while the gains aren't like bigger while holding it? Yeah. So I realized that there's actually no like proper reason for it. So I realized that the only thing I really need is Bitcoin and try to stack more. And it was like in the year of 2019 when I had discussions with my brother Matthias. He used to live in Bali back then. He had his business there. And he, just from another coincidence, was introduced into Bitcoin in the same age, in the same year. So we realized that, okay, that's really funny that we, two brothers living on opposite sides of the world, reached into the Bitcoin in year 2017. And we, both of us were thinking for ourselves, like, what can we do more in Bitcoin? Because we are not developers, not the tech guys. So before, like, what we really like and what we did for all our lives. And it was basically that we organized events, you know, like not really like really event, but more like parties for our friends. So when we used to live together, there was always someone hanging with us at our place, having a good time, you know, or we were doing some parties in the clubs, et cetera, et cetera. So we thought for ourselves, like, okay, how about we do a Bitcoin conference or like bigger Bitcoin meetup, because there was none of it in Czech Republic in 2019. And we did some research. We realized that the observation was actually valid. So we've created a brand, which is called ChainCamp. It's our Czech-only, Bitcoin-only conference. And we kicked it out, but then COVID appeared, you know. So we had to postpone it. And we were lucky that we picked 1 week during the autumn season of 2020, when the restrictions were down for some reason, you know, I still don't understand why, but we were lucky that we fit into the time frame. So basically, as we were the only ones who organized anything back then, we got like huge traction, attracted 450 visitors on the first year of it, doubled the number year after, still in the COVID, actually. Doubled it again in 2022, which reached us to 2,000 visitors, still on Czech only conference, basically. So considering like country of 10 million inhabitants, it's not really small. And somebody actually told us that, hey guys, are you aware of the fact that you are the biggest like non-English speaking conference in the world? And we said, oh, like, really? Okay, that's interesting. So, and we saw even some like demand from foreign speakers and from foreign partners who were interested to contribute into our conference somehow. So we thought, you know, like how to do it, because that would require us to move from Ostrava to Prague, to switch from Czech language to the English, which would probably ruin the brand of our local conference. So we decided to create another one, internationally focused, which BTC Prague is. And we saw the opportunity of like creating like real, strictly Bitcoin only, mass adoption focused conference here in the mid Europe, because it's like easy to access and Prague has a great history of Bitcoin. Probably gonna get there, but the conditions weren't really good because, you know, we were in the bear market. The sentiment was down. It looked like that Bitcoin gonna die again. Luckily it didn't. And, yeah, we've managed it. So BTC Prague happened last year. I'm a bit biased to say that it was a great success, but turned out to be a good idea, you know, to organize events for us, basically.
No, BTC Prague was amazing last year. It is one of my absolute favorite conferences. And I think, by the way, the first question here, before I forget, it's, do you still do the Czech language conference, or is that off the table now?
Yeah, we still do it. It's going to happen again in September here in the city of Ostrava. And we are in close touch with a university here as they are interested in Bitcoin. But, you know, the university and the academics, it's more like politics. So it takes long time before they can really adapt and accept it into their learning system. So they are happy that we get the traction and the publicity into the campus around the Bitcoin. And they do not really have to do a lot about it. Yeah.
And are you expecting the same number of attendees? Like, is it still a big conference, the Czech language one, or is BTC Prague sort of eating the...
Yeah, we are self-cannibalizing ourselves, to be honest. So we've decided that we're going to change the focus of our chain camp for this year. So we're going to scale down a bit, targeting like 900 visitors, and we're going to skip the beginner's topics. So it's not going to be like newbie focused. and we're going to focus on the advanced Bitcoiners. So as we see that community grew a lot here, we want to provide them like advanced topics, advanced content. And actually, they are asking us if we can do a bit more on this side. So hope we're gonna fit again.
That's very cool, especially since Prague has turned out to be the Bitcoin capital of Europe, sort of. it's the most Bitcoinized big city, I think, in on the continent.
Yeah, it definitely is. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love BTC Prague, and I think we should be proud as Europeans now, because we have three of the most high signal to noise ratio conferences in the world. And those are Prague, Madeira, where I'm a bit biased, of course, and of course also Baltic Honey Badger in Riga.
Yeah. Yeah, so, definitely.
And I love that with the collaboration between the three, because there's no rivalry. It's just friendly competition and collaboration. Because we realize we're all in the same boat here. So it's beautiful to see. And looking forward to those three are the ones that we will show up at every one of those, I think, going into the future, Luke. Isn't that right?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, exactly. Europe, we're so in such good shape. I mean, like I come from North America, and they have good conferences. Even one now is getting some traction from my hometown in Calgary. But I love being based in Europe now. I think we've got the best conferences. And yeah, with Prague coming up, can't wait. And Martin, I think the main reason we wanted to bring you on, not only just to tell us more about what's going on this year at BTC Prague, but you have some history of Czech Republic and before it was the Czech Republic, and how that relates to how Czechia is so good for freedom now, for freedom minded people. So just go ahead. Please tell us the story. We're fascinated, waiting to hear. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. And actually, I'm quite surprised that, you know, even Czechs aren't aware of the fact that we can really be proud of something else than the beer and the hockey is. And hockey is actually not relevant anymore, even here in Czech Republic. And it's, of course, it's Bitcoin. But, you know, to put everything in the right context, it kind of requires me to give you like short lesson of our national history. And I don't want to dive really deep. So I will try to make it like short. But the most important thing is that Czechs and Czechoslovaks, you know, we were always like freedom fighters, you know. But as we live in the middle of the Europe and we are a small nation, we weren't free and we still aren't like really free. You know, we need to decide we want to be part of the West or the East, as we are too small to be really free. But we fought for it a lot. And like the first moment, which is kind of a popular, happened already in 15th century. And it's called like Defenestration of Prague, when really like plebeians went and threw corrupt officials out of the town hall in Prague to the streets. Some of them died, actually. And this was like very first mark, an early struggle for our religious and civil liberty here in Czechoslovakia. And I don't know if it became like some kind of our national hobby, but it happened again 200 years after. Second defenestration of Prague in 17th century, when people again grabbed like officials, those were Habsburg monarchs, and threw them out of the Prague castle. It wasn't actually a good idea at all, because it turned and escalated into the war here in Czech Republic, Czechoslovakia. But again, like in 19th century, 200 years after that moment, we worked for our Czech language and Czech language identity, which ended in a revolution in 1848, when Prague was finally independent from the German monarchy. And not later after it, in like, it was the year of 1918, we finally was established as a Czechoslovakia, as a free country, when Austro-Hungarian Empire collapsed after World War I. But we weren't really free for a long time, because, you know, then World War II happened, so we were fully occupied by Nazis. We lost a significant part of our land and had to strive again. And as it looked again like positive after World War II, and I don't know if like history likes to repeat or rhyme itself, in the year of 1948, we officially became, by political purge, part of Estonian Communist Party. And it wasn't easy, mostly because of the fact that like 20 years after, in 68, Soviet Unions and their troops invaded our country even with armed forces and pushed us to follow their communist rules like in very strict and direct way, like diplomatically said, I would say, you know. And there were like even escalations on this side. So in year 77, manifesto called Charta 77 was signed by Václav Havel. And that was like first official and public demanding to the government that we want to recognize at least some basic human rights here in Czech Republic. And that was basically the first like official peaceful symbol of our Velvet Revolution, which happened in year 89, basically a few weeks after Berlin Wall went down. And I believe that, you know, Bitcoin, of course, there's some gap between that moment and when Bitcoin was invented or born. It was just a natural escalation, you know. It's another tool which Czechs can use to fight for freedom and to be free, even here in like middle Europe, being so small country. So it's a kind of a natural escalation, as I said, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so how old are you, Martin?
I was born in 84.
In 84. So you lived through this revolution, even though you were small, but you did. This is amazing. I mean, the things I know about Prague's history, I mostly got from Rahim's history lesson last year at the conference, which was excellent. So that Prague is rich because of the silver mines around, and that they had the small city states that grew bigger, and also that became the center of many empires in many eras, where the silver and gold flowed into Prague. And it is a beautiful city. It like the there's so much history. I mean, me and Luke went to the Absinthe bar last time we were
surprised,
there.
Surprised, yeah.
And we just stumbled upon it. We didn't have the intention of ending up there, but it looked so cool, the place. So we ended up in a cellar in a basement that was 500 years old and smelled like it, by the way. Yeah. But this Velvet Revolution, I'm interested in that and Václav Havel, because I only have surface level knowledge about this, but to my knowledge, it was more violent than East Germany and how that the Berlin Wall and all that was kind of unviolent, that whole transition, if you will, and this was a bit more defenestration-y again. And also that Václav Havel and Charta 77 and all this, that there was some sort of underground movement for quite some time, right? Where there was like a parallel society. And that's where Parallelini Police has gotten its name from. Have I got that right? Can you go into those details?
Yeah. Honestly, I'm not really aware of like every detail. And it's quite interesting that we haven't been taught about this in history lessons at my primary school. And it's still not really present, you know. It's quite absurd that I know that the Greece philosoph, or was it Roman, Diogenes, actually lived in a barrel, you know. But I know nothing about like our Czech and communism history at all, which is quite absurd, because I don't know if our teachers were still like feeling it too present or too painful to talk about it, because it actually was really painful. And yes, that movement of Charta 77 and Václav Havel, he was a dissident, so he was forbid to speak publicly. But the artists, students, and some free and open-minded people worked like behind the curtain, and they built like parallel society, which has signed that Charta 77. They were prosecuted for it. Some of them really died for it, because they weren't open to tell who stands behind it. And it was actually the intention was very peaceful on the first side, but of course, you know, the intention was obvious, just to get rid of the communism system at all. And it took like basically 20 years, you know. I shall maybe study more before going into the real details. Maybe we can get discovered on another call, but it's quite interesting that all I know about the communism is, you know, from my parents and from my grandfathers, because, you know, one of my grandfather, he was a dissident. So he wasn't really allowed to do work he wants. My mother and her brother, they weren't allowed to go to the university of their choice. So it was like really not good at all. But and on other hand, my second grandfather, he was a dean at the university. So of course he had to be part of the party to be able to work on such a prominent position. But that was kind of a price to be paid so he could focus on his work and do the science, as he worked on the nuclear reactors and science program. He invented a few alloys of aluminium and et cetera, et cetera.
We're thrilled to introduce our new sponsor, the BitBox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition.
BitBox.
It's fully open source, Swiss engineered, and Bitcoin only forever. The device only supports Bitcoin, which means less code, less attack surface, and improved security for your Bitcoin. Check out the BitBox 02 Bitcoin Only Edition at bitbox.swiss/freedom.
And use code freedom for 5% off.
Next up, Wasabi Wallet, the desktop wallet with CoinJoin built in so you can preserve your privacy.
Ooh!
It's easy to use and open source, and their recent Juggernaut update included loads of upgrades and new features.
Ooh!
They even added support for BitBox. Go to wasabiwallet.io and download Wasabi today.
Ooh!
And maybe I can even tell, like, that if you have you heard of, like, Vexel and Tuzex and our second currency? That's actually even quite, like, interesting, yeah. And Vexel? That's another thing which explains why we are so into Bitcoin here in Czech Republic, basically.
Yeah, Vexel, is that where the now Bitcoin company Vexel got its name from?
Yes, exactly. Yes.
Okay, tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, okay, so I'm going to give that example on my grandfather again. So as he was a dean, so he traveled a lot across the whole Europe and the world, basically. But to be able to travel back in the communism, it required everyone to get like an official stamp. So he's allowed to travel, to leave the country. And on top of that stamp, usually that person got some foreign currency so he can pay for the accommodation, buy a dinner or do whatever he wants abroad. But as soon as he gets back, he had to tell what he did there and give all that foreign currency, the unspent currency, back to the officials and received like nominal amount back, not in Czech korunas, but in second currency, which was called bonds. It was our like second currency unofficially available on the market, only available in exchange for the foreign currency. And it's not actually a coincidence that we weren't allowed to keep any foreign currency, because then it would be easy to cross the border and run away, right? West, mostly. But that, as the second currency wasn't officially accepted in any stores, which wasn't really a problem because they were either completely empty. So the only place to go and spend them were Tuzex, official stores run by government, where Western goods was available, like electronics, jeans, even like luxury items, not available in normal stores for normal people. Which is quite absurd that the Communist Party was saying, hey, we want everyone to be equal. We will take care of your wealth. Everybody will get everything. But if you are privileged enough, you can get like capitalist Western good in special stores we take care of. Right? So what happened? And that's where the Vexel application, peer-to-peer marketplace, Bitcoin trading application got its name, is Vexel. It actually originates from the people who took care of the dark market back in those days, you know. So there were like, wasn't an official price for that second currency called bonds, which was the only way how to buy Western goods. Dark market grown under it, yeah. So around every Tuzex, there were like people standing on the streets. They were called Vexlags, like traders. And they had a price for like foreign currencies, for korunas, for bonds, and vice versa. So if you had dollars, German marks, Austrian shillings, Italian liras, or name it, you were able to sell it or buy it from those Vexlaks on the streets. They were actually experts in selling and buying foreign currencies for Korunas and vice versa again. And it's actually quite funny or maybe absurd, too, that when Velvet Revolution happened in 89, our official Czechoslovakia National Bank was established, but they knew nothing about the exchange rate, about the foreign currencies, because they weren't set before. So the officials from the National Bank went to the streets, approached those Vexlaks and asked them how much shall they charge for a dollar, for a marka, for shilling and for lira. And thanks to those answers, they were able to set our like first official national exchange rate when people were willing to exchange their own Czech korunas there. So like really market taught our national bank what the price is of the money back then. Yeah. That's just another example why Bitcoin is so strong here, right? And it's so deeply in our history, in roots, when government was trying to fuck with us, that it's so easy to explain to anybody what freedom of the money means. Yeah.
Yeah. This reminds me, so when you said that, like the privileged were still able to get the good stuff from these special stores, it reminds me so much of Havana, Cuba, where and I visited Havana when on the tall ship like years back, but before I was there like 4 or 5 times before Fidel died, and I remember a place in Havana called La Cupola, which is where they and it's a famous place because of it's one of the first things the communist government did. They made ice cream free to the public. So La Cupola is an ice cream place in the middle of a nice park in Havana. And so they had this, oh, now we have a communist utopia. Ice cream is free. And if you go there now, it's a perfect example of what communism does to a country, because there's the ice cream is almost free. I mean, it's just a couple of cents. So there are 200 Cubans in a line waiting to get their almost free ice cream. But if you're a tourist and you pay like $4 for the ice cream instead of 4 cents, you can bypass the line. So there's almost no line at all. So if you're rich enough, you don't have to be with the poor people. So like, and that's how all communist systems end up. There's a small wealthy elite, and the more efficient the communist system is, the less wealthy even the elite becomes, because it. Yeah, there's a story about Gorbachev coming to the U.S. and seeing a supermarket full of more food than he ever saw anywhere in the Soviet Union, even though he was the president. So, sooner or later you're going to run out of other people's money. That's what happens.
And it's quite interesting to see that people are. And most younger generation are calling for communism and socialism, even nowadays, you know. I don't understand it. Why can anyone still think that we can all be like equal from this perspective? From the perspective that government will take care of the fair equality, you know, that it doesn't work like this, right?
No, and it's a very naive position. And then again, there are immense inequalities in the world, and there are people who are billionaires and people who barely have anything to eat. But the real thing that people don't see at all is that billionaires is very much a product of fiat currency, like gaming. The system is rigged to make the wealthier even wealthier even faster, and the poorer even poorer. It's very expensive to be poor in a fiat monetary system.
Yeah, and life becomes super cheap when you reach some kind of level of being rich, right?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, lower interest rates and everything, and if you don't have a big mortgage to pay off all day, then of course your life is cheaper. It's as simple as that. The more assets you have, the more you can leverage them.
Yeah, yeah, like Michael Saylor got a loan with interest rate 0.68%. A year? Wonderful, yeah.
Yeah, and even if he lost all his bitcoins in a tragic boating accident, it wouldn't be hard for Michael Saylor to make ends meet anyway, or anyone in that position. I mean, being poor is expensive is the gist of this. Anyway, so like, if we go into more recent history, how did the Bitcoin movement start in Prague, and like what are the big that like landmarks there and historical events? Talking just about Bitcoin history.
Yeah, I'm quite proud of it, and we use this in our mission and our line when we talk about BTC Prague a lot, and it again goes with our history. And as I told about the communism and that Tuzex era when nothing was in store, people were used to create stuff by themselves, you know, that kind of dark age of our history cultivated kind of a craftsmanship in our country, you know, and people were used to build like everything, like furniture, sport equipment, electronics, like anything, because it was simply needed, you know. And this culture of craftsmanship actually brought people together in year 2009 in like I'm not sure if it still exists in Prague. It was called Brmla. It was like a hackerspace in Prague where a few people met and talked about something new which is happening in online space, and it's something like Bitcoin, you know. And as they spent time together talking about Bitcoin, that they realized that they have some problems with Bitcoin, and they were trying to using their craftsmanship skills create a solution for those struggles and problems they had with Bitcoin by themselves back then, you know. So in early 2010, Slush from Satoshi Labs actually created very first Bitcoin mining pool from Prague, you know. It still exists. It's run by Brains. They rename it to Brains Pool now. And it mined already more than 1 million Bitcoin, actually. 2 years after, again, Slush and Stick, second co-founder of Trezor Wallet, they were wondering how they can actually protect their Bitcoin in a better way than Electrum Wallet is in their computers. And they thought that like hardware wallet might be something interesting for that purpose. So they came up with the Trezor Wallet, you know, again in 2012. And 1 year after, they realized that we probably need some better way how to store our private key. So they came up with idea of seed phrase, BIP39, again, Slush and Stick in Prague. And in the same year, General Bytes was born, the biggest Bitcoin ATM producer and manufacturer in the world. And of course, like last but not least, Brains mining company, which runs Brains Pool. Slush Pool back then, and creates auto-tuning ASIC firmware, which gets as much as terahash as possible from every single mining machine. And of course, like, and you mentioned it already, like that cypherpunk hackerspace called Paralelní Polis, which operates for, yeah, more than 10 years in Prague, and they haven't been accepting fiat anytime. You know, they were only powered by crypto and Bitcoin from the very beginning. Yeah. So they were like innovators of that fuck the state movement, I would say. Yeah. And I believe that this is like unprecedented. We still need to understand that we are talking about a country of 10 million inhabitants. So yeah, I'm quite proud of, and I'm saying it every time again, because Prague is like real capital of Bitcoin, I would say. Yeah. At least from this perspective. Yeah.
No, it's super cool. And yeah. And it's a fantastic city. Luke, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, it's great. And I'm also interested in another angle here, not just of Prague. Lots of great things from Prague, but you're also Ostrava is like the other side of the country, right? So you're also involved throughout Czech Republic, is that right?
Yeah. And it actually, COVID actually slowed down this movement a lot, to be honest, like mostly the small meetups, you know. But now, you know, we have like some kind of Bitcoin meetup or gathering or like small event happening almost every day somewhere in Czech Republic. So like there's like our local Einundzwanzig or 21 world community called Jedna Dvacet in already 30 cities, and they are organizing their regular meetups on 2 week or monthly basis. Yeah, like for example, here in Ostrava, we actually kicked it off with Matthias 2 years ago, and it now works like automatically, you know, like Plebs took over, they just kick it out, every first Wednesday in a month at the same place in the same pub. And, you know, sometimes there's some speaker to talk about something. Sometimes it's just a beer session. Sometimes there's like a Bitcoin quiz. And like more than 30 or even 50 people gets together like on monthly basis. So it's great. And that's like even more important though than those like big conferences, you know. As mostly now when we are reaching like another bull run, or we probably already are in one, it's interesting. It's like important to have such a places where Bitcoiner can take his friend and say, hey, just join me for a beer. I'm going to introduce you to few friends of mine, and we do not need to push you into anything. Just ask a question, or you can just have a beer, you know. It's a great proof of concept, I think.
We're now partnered with the Bitcoin Advisor, your best choice for collaborative multi-sig custody. The Bitcoin Advisor guides you every step of the way, from taking self-custody of your Bitcoin to securing it in their multi-sig vaults. Estate planning and inheritance is built in, so your loved ones can have peace of mind.
And you know what the best part is? Me and Luke are Bitcoin Advisors, so you can contact us. We can advise you about Bitcoin and Bitcoin custody, how to make custard, anything really. We're Bitcoin Advisors.
So visit us at thebitcoinadvisor.com/freedom or send us a DM or email to get started.
Contact us within 2 weeks and we'll throw in a free set of steak knives. Maybe.
The show is also sponsored by Orange Pill App, the Bitcoin-only social network where you can stack friends who stack sats. Make local connections and find all the nearby meetups, see what's going on in your area, and connect with Bitcoiners around you. And now, with a brand new merchant section, it's easier than ever to find and connect with local businesses that accept Bitcoin.
The best part about Orange Pill App is that you know that it's high signal, because you're paying for Orange Pill App, and so is everyone else. There are no Asian ladies asking you how your trade is going on Orange Pill App, because it's not a trading app. It's a dating app. Is it a dating app?
So download the Orange Pill app on Apple or Android, send us a DM, and start building your local network of Bitcoiners.
Fantastic. And I think it's great to see this this growing. And now maybe the natural next step is, can you tell us more about BTC Prague? And the conference was fantastic last year. What's going on this year? Anything you want, tell us about BTC Prague.
Yeah, I'm going to, thank you. I'm going to continue with the 21 World mission, you know, and we are empowering that bottom-up approach in Bitcoin basically as much as we can, you know. And we like plebs, so we are pleb-focused first, I would say. Of course, there's like industry days, so businessmen and entrepreneurs can get together and create and do something like interesting and nice. But I really believe that plebeians are the most important ones in the space. So we've decided to create like a 21 World community booth, which will be in the expo section, besides another 99 booths there, having like small chill area around, having a coffee spot, having like a lightning powered beer tap machine, because, you know, we still need to keep in mind that we are talking about the Czech Republic and Pilsner Urquell and our beer, you know. Just don't forget this guy's here.
No. It's impossible to forget. Like, I didn't think beer could get any better until I visited Prague for the first time. And it's like, holy shit, there's another level of this thing. It's truly next level.
Thank you. I appreciate. Yeah, so there's going to be like huge 21 World community booth. We have like some kind of a runner or a member from every single European 21 World community, basically a representative who takes care over of sharing the information in their own communities, inviting people so they can gather there. So it's going to be like pretty packed meeting point, I think. And yeah, and talking about BTC Prague in general, I believe that we have decided to divide the venue into two sections last year, in like a good way. So it worked pretty well. People were, it was easy to orient there and it worked. So we basically gonna copy paste the layout from last year. And of course there were like troubles, or maybe you can say even fuck ups. Yeah. Like for example, audio quality on the main stage wasn't really good. There was like a huge echo because it's like a square concrete, hall. It's more like a logistic Amazon logistics center. Than a place for a conference. So this is going to be solved, and other smaller or bigger things, which we were mostly able to keep behind the curtain. Yeah. And we're going to make it a bit bigger. So we are targeting 8,500 visitors. So this is like the maximum that the venue can hold, still being sure that everybody will feel comfortable there, because we do not want to go over this. And the goal is to have like 100 Bitcoin-focused companies, Bitcoin-only focused companies in the expo section. And I'm quite proud about this, because it's like a great proof of concept again. So when some newbie comes to the BTC Prague and sees the size of it and the amounts of the companies working on something like software, hardware, whatever, name it, it's usually hard to say that, okay, the Bitcoin is dead. You know, they will mostly and probably understand that, okay, like that's like a complete industry. It's like a whole ecosystem. And what we believe is that we will be able to force at least some of newbie visitors, or maybe even advanced ones, actually, to start to contribute into Bitcoin somehow. You know, quit fiat job, find a Bitcoin one, or maybe stay in fiat job and have a Bitcoin part-time job, or do Bitcoin art, or do whatever, you know, because it's not only about the developers, as people usually think, but it's, as I've said, it's like complete industry. So it needs and requires like project managers, account managers, marketers, video, AV, whatever, actually, yeah? like any other industry, accountants. So we want to challenge people to come, to see it, and to think for themselves that, hey, this is might be interesting. It's like the fastest growing industry these days. So I want to be part of it. What can I do? Yeah, you can come meet the companies at the booth, ask them if they have some free position, which they have now in the bull run. So it's a great fit from my perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, it's super cool. I heard another conference organizer, let's just call it that, who accused BTC Prague of just copy-pasting their templates. did you hear about this?
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah. Of course. Well,
what's your thoughts on that?
What can I say, man? I don't really consider it being valid. So, you know, you can then say that there's like an IT conference. So is Bitcoin conference copying the concept of IT conferences? Whatever, man. I'm more like try to stay focused on our work and the way we do it and the way we like it than considering like and ending up with in such a like, it's not fighting, you know, to be like 100% honest, but it wasn't really fair. I understand his point, but come on, you know, Bitcoin is so huge. We are talking about America, like whole continent. We are talking about Europe, whole continent. There's definitely a space for many events. And I believe that we share the mission of like getting the world orange pill. So unless we are doing, as long as we are doing it like in a proper and right way, being like, because, you know, I, for example, I feel responsible for every single visitor of ours, you know? So I try to consider if that partner is legit or if it's not. We even got sued by Italian scammers, you know, because we forbid them to be part of the BTC Prague. So I said then, hey, you know that you basically proved yourself to be scammers because you're trying to sue us that we are not allowing you to come, right? And but this is a different story. So I believe that as long as we stay on this like fair side of it, trying to be responsible for our visitors, it's okay, right? The market will tell. It's not us. I do not feel like being in the position to tell what's right or what's not, right?
No. And for those that don't know, it's actually easier to copy a JPEG than it is to copy a conference. Some people don't know this, but it's actually true. You can just right click on it and copy it, and you can make it into your own by putting it in an editing program, and then you can copy that. It's fantastic, actually. The computers are great.
Yeah, computers are great. Yeah. We won't be here without the computers, right?
No, we've got this lovely technology that lets us connect virtually. I mean, I think the thing is, it's great that so many conferences are cropping up. And again, just back to how great we have it here in Europe. It's always like seeing your friends every 3 to 4 months, something like that, to everyone who goes into the same conferences. And to me, it doesn't get old at all, because I think the main point here, right, is to connect, right? And the talks are fantastic. It's a great way for people to get a lot of knowledge all in one place. And the expo was my favorite part last year, for sure. I spent most of my time hanging out in the expo area, just meeting people and seeing all the great things going on there. And so it's just all the connections. I mean, I think this is why to do these conferences, is to set up these hubs. And so, I mean, you make the contrast between a meetup. The local community and every sort of a regular basis and all this that's fantastic as well. Grow the local community, but it's also fantastic to pull in the international community. And so have you seen a sort of an effect after BTC Prague on sort of that Prague is becoming a hub for international Bitcoiners, that sort of thing?
I would say yes, that it's much easier now. And I give an example, for example, on Einundzwanzig community in Germany, you know, as like Germans are Germans, you know, they are like privacy obsessed in the good way. I love it. And that's just one example of like being or having like different approach on Bitcoin. Like, for example, Czechs, they are non-KYC freaks. Germans, they don't care about KYC, but they do not want to get their phone number spoiled first, right? And just do not picture them without the consents. And other countries follows. And I believe that, and that's our mission actually, to build the Bitcoin bridges across the Europe. Because before I get to the answer, like for US, it's so easy, you know, or actually much easier, because if you want to run a Bitcoin startup in the US, you do it in English and you target like 300 millions at one shot. But doing this in Europe, you know, you need to follow the regulatory of every single country. Then there are language barriers, cultural differences. Like I gave you a few examples just from the Bitcoin perspective. And we want to bridge those people together to let them understand that, of course, we have a differences. We probably won't maybe argue on like one point, but we're gonna agree on 10 other, or 9 others, you know? And I want them to understand that we are basically the same, and that we can cooperate and like make Europe great again, as it is quite needy, seeing that nonsense which European Union is approaching us with. But yeah, I can see it, you know? It's easier when we get in touch with BlockTrainer or Lunatic Coin. They are telling us, hey, please, we definitely want to be part of BTC Prague, because it was great for us to come, to learn, to share our knowledge and to understand what are the differences, so we can maybe adapt somehow to enlarge our reach and audience, and orange pill maybe faster and more effective, because, you know, we do not need to reinvent the wheel in every single European country. And mostly now, you know, when we are heading into the AI era, and probably in like 1 year or maybe 2 years, I don't know, AI would be able to do such a recording like we are having here now, and nobody would be able to recognize if it's true or not. But meeting and seeing people face to face on the conference, you know, there's like a huge trust. Another level of which people are usually complaining, hey, why shall I spend money on a conference? Because there's like overhead expenses of getting there, getting yourself accommodated and everything. But come on, you can be sure that you are meeting the people, when you are meeting the people face to face, that they are real, right? That they are not AI created, deep faking you or whatever. So there are like many layers why events, conferences, mostly smaller meetups and all that stuff are so important, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's so true. The thing you said about like, we agree on 9 things out of 10, like that's what I think one of the things that separates Bitcoiners from other people, is that instead of being hostile against people with other opinions, we know that we align on 90%. So we try to find that 10% we disagree about, because we know there's something to learn there. Yeah. Like we know that that's the interesting discussion. It happens right there because that other person has done the work to understand this thing. So obviously it's not a dumb person that is not worth talking to. This person is worth talking to, and we can learn something here. And I think that's just a fantastic aspect of hanging out with other Bitcoiners, and especially in real life, you can get into these deep, deep conversations that are so rewarding to just, it's very rewarding to be around Bitcoiners. It's the best thing.
And that's the best on Bitcoiners, on Bitcoin, the people, you know, that's definitely the best. Yeah.
Because we are our Bitcoins. That's why. There's yeah, two aspects Bitcoin. Of the same thing.
Yeah. I cannot agree more, Knut. Yes.
Fantastic. Well, so with BTC Prague coming up here, I mean, it's going to be about 2 months at the time we release this. Anything important you can tell our listeners about BTC Prague? And by the way, we have a code if you want to get tickets, code Freedom for a discount. And yeah, so. But any other key information, and make sure to leave a comment. Let us know what you think. Like, subscribe, and brush your teeth. All that stuff. I love when I get to say that. Yeah, Martin, can you tell us any more key information about the conference coming up here in a couple of months?
Yeah, the basic and the most important thing is the people, you know, and we've talked it through already that you cannot learn, share, network, and have fun as much as on the conference. And I'm biased, you know, I don't want to talk about BTC Prague itself. Of course, for me, it's like a no-brainer. But okay, like a small sales window, yeah. It's the best conference in the Europe, basically. Like really, we really work hard. We curate every single speaker, every single partner. We really love people and the energy and the positive vibe of having people around and together for like tens of years. So we really think how people will move, how they will flow in the venue. Is there something important worth of spending a minute? If not, let's put something there, you know? Is beer close enough? If not, let's put another beer stand there, you know? And we are really thinking about like people first. That's the most important. And I believe that that's the reason why we were able to deliver such a successful even on the first shot, actually last year. And so that like theory, but come on, you know, Prague sits in the middle of the Europe. It's like easy to access from anywhere. It's really wonderful. So people who were there can probably confirm. And if they haven't been there, it's good to give it a try. The prices are quite reasonable. The beer is good. Summer is really nice. It's not really hot, but it's like still okay to wear short and t-shirt for whole day. And that great Bitcoin history of Prague and our non-giving shit policy in Czech Republic is unprecedented, and it's hard to describe it, but people really need to live it, I would say. Yeah,
Prague is amazing in itself. The food is great, the beer is spectacular, and yeah, so it's worth visiting anyway, but especially if you're going to the Bitcoin conference. Like we talked about, what's the name of that other city where you had the Czech
Ostrava?
Concert? Yes. Ostrava. Yeah. Halfway to Ostrava is Brno, right?
Yes, Brno.
So here is a final question. Do you know what kind of event happens in Brno on a yearly basis on the 4th of January?
Oh, wow. I have no idea, to be honest.
It's the International Silly Walks March, where people oh, nice. Dress up as Jon Cleese in a suit and, with a suitcase and does the silly walk. So there's a bunch of Czechs doing a silly walk march. I thought the ice were taking care of the walks being silly anyway in January. But yeah, anyway, haven't been yet. That's another event we should go to, Luke.
Yeah. Let's go there next year, guys. Yeah, and Brno is great, really great city, really wonderful, and not so crowded with tourists. A really enjoyable one. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I want to go there. I want to explore Czechia more. Czech Republic.
Yeah, Czechs are great, guys. I don't know. I saw that there was some kind of experiment on the YouTube. I can Google it later, but there were like two guys. Driving around the Europe, stopping in every major capital, and doing the experiment with like fake cocaine. So they've found like the biggest, most famous park in every single city, sat there on a bench, they took a cell phone and did like the few lines of that fake cocaine and stop and measuring the time until the police will come, you know. And in Sweden, it was like 2 minutes or kindish. And in other countries, it was usually like below 5 minutes. And in Czech Republic, it took 25, actually. And when police came and just looked like this, and they turned around and walked away again. Yeah, so we really do not give a shit unless you really bother someone, which is really great. And nobody really cares about Czech Republic. So it's really nice place to spend some time and even maybe consider living here because it's a calm place, really hidden of everything, you know, but still quite nice. Yeah.
Yeah, there's something to be said there for like Sweden has some of the most harsh drug policies in all of Europe. So the prison sentences are long if they catch you with drugs. And also Sweden has the highest number of deaths from overdoses. So there's something to be said there for the efficiency of prohibition. So I mean
I used to live in Finland, so I still remember how it was actually. Okay, the beer is not worth of buying, like at least the local one. But I remember how crazy they drank then, you know, and those drinking cruise ships. That was actually quite interesting to experience once. Yeah.
How long did you live in Finland? I didn't know that.
For 6 years when I was a kid. I even attended primary school there in Espoo.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, yeah. How did you end up there?
Yeah, my father, he worked and did science. He followed my grandfather's steps and he was invited to finish his PhD in Helsinki. Mm. And he worked on some steel improvement quality proposal with Sweden in the University of Alvar Aalto in Helsinki. Yeah.
Yes.
So we moved there as a whole family. Yeah.
Is this the grandfather who just casually invented a couple of aluminium alloys?
Yes.
pretty cool history. Yeah.
Oh yeah, but no, I agree with you though. I mean, like the beers are definitely no comparison, but there's some other interesting things. But the community isn't nearly as big in Finland as it is in Czech Republic. There's some work to do up here, but lots of great people though. I think there's usually a lot of Finns make it to all the conferences as well. So that's pretty good. And I actually have another question about coming to, since you mentioned living in the Czech Republic. Yeah, like I guess this is a topic that comes up more with Bitcoiners these days, the sort of so-called flag theory thing that if you can live somewhere else or get another passport or something, that can be beneficial. And I think there are some prominent Bitcoiners, I won't dox them or anything, but who have moved. So yeah, is it a good place to move as a foreigner? Is it easy to live? Would it be only in Prague or other places? Tell us more.
Good question. I believe that like being like European Union habitant, it's actually easy for you to travel anywhere in European Union and get a job and get an accommodation and do basically whatever. Finding a job while being a foreigner in Prague is not a big deal, you know. Many foreign companies have their headquarters there, and like even working with English first is easy. But it's definitely not a standard in other cities. Like for example, here in Ostrava, like being a non-Czech speaker, living here and trying to find like relevant or proper job might not be really easy, actually. So Prague, of course, other cities, maybe I would start from different perspective, maybe find a job first and move after. But if you just can do Bitcoin and work remotely and work online without having a need to go to the office, like physically, oh, come on, like Czech Republic is a really nice place to be in, yes.
Fantastic. Good to hear. I mean, more people should just come to BTC Prague, use code FREEDOM for your tickets and check the place out. And yeah, so Great. Martin, can't wait to come see you again in a couple of months in your home territory. BTC Prague, fantastic last year. Can't wait this year. Anything else you'd like to direct our listeners towards or mention about the conference that you haven't already?
Yeah, just take some of your friends maybe with you, but no, come on. Yeah, like just first day, guys, I like what you do, and Freedom Footprint, it's just that saying is proof that you are on the right track. We should really take care of the freedom of the self. We should be self-sovereign. We should take our private data safe as in the name of the freedom, you know, that's what we are losing the most. Yeah. So just stay strong on that mission.
You can count on us to do that. Like that's what we do. We try to release freedom dioxide here. yes, to prevent global laming because that sucks.
So that sucks, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all right. Well, Martin, this has been great. Me also, like I can just echo what Luke said. I'm looking forward a lot to seeing you again in Prague and seeing everyone else and stumbling upon those beer taps that you have planted everywhere in the conference. So truly looking forward to it. All the best and good luck with all the preparations. And use code freedom and we'll start chilling that a lot more.
Yeah, thank you very much for the invitation. It was great to talk with you guys. Thank you once again and see you soon in Prague.
Right back at you. See you
Likewise,
soon.
Likewise, Martin. Thanks so much. This has been the Freedom Footprint Show. Thanks for listening.